It is indeed a privilege to be with you today and thank the Lord for the opportunity of sharing the word with you. Thank the Lord for his blessings to us. I trust that as this past week has ended, you have taken time to count your many blessings. Certainly we do have much for which to rejoice. We Americans are blessed to the point where if we're not careful, we'll take many things for granted. We certainly are a blessed people. One of the blessings that I certainly appreciate and do not want to take lightly is the blessing of a Christian family. And even though I am now well stricken in years, I still have my parents with me. Last Sunday, we worshiped with them in the state of Illinois. Dad's 85 and Mother's 82, but it was a privilege to be in their home. And they love the Lord, and it's a privilege to be able to pray together. I cherish those times of family devotions with my mother and father. I remember when my dad wasn't saved. He got saved the year after I did. And what a joy it is. And then my grandfather, his father, was a Christian. When I was a new convert, I got saved when I was 16. I was referred to as the younger Brother Manley on one occasion when they asked me to close the service with prayer. They don't do that much anymore, but they did back there when I was a teenager. But it's good to be in the house of the Lord today and a joy to be able to worship with you and share God's word. And I guess maybe some of that nostalgia about old people, and being one of them anymore myself, I don't even ask for senior citizen discounts. They just give me the free coffee or the half-off coffee or the discount. I've said, really, I'd just as soon they keep the money and I'd be young again. But that doesn't seem to work. They don't seem to be able to negotiate to my terms. But with 9 grandchildren with us over the holiday and trying to keep up with them, maybe that's one of the reasons why I felt impressed of the Lord to look at a passage in Isaiah chapter 46, verses 3 and 4. Isaiah chapter 46, verses 3 and 4. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb, and even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you, and I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings to us this morning and the wonderful privilege of being in God's house. Certainly we have many things for which to bless and to thank the Lord for. You have blessed us with many spiritual blessings. You've given health and strength and the desire to be in your house today. We thank you for your provisions to us, Lord, and in so many ways compared to other parts of the world, we're blessed beyond measure. We thank you, Lord, for your word today and your loving care. We're glad we can look to a loving and caring Heavenly Father, and we pray that you would open up the word to us this morning and feed our souls with manna from on high. Bless the truth and help thy unworthy servant one more time to preach thy word in Jesus' name. Amen. Even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I carry and will deliver you. Many of God's dear children live long and useful lives. Their testimony for Christ is clear and consistent to the end of their pilgrimage. Last summer, one of the men in the Faith Mission Church, Brother Wayne Pierce, went to be with the Lord. Brother Pierce was 91 years of age, and he loved God, and his life was an inspiration to me. I had known him for the over 14 years that we worshiped together there at Faith Mission Church, but his wife became ill, and for quite some time he was unable to come to church as he cared for her. Then she went to heaven. And then he started back to church faithfully because he no longer had her to care for. And, you know, it was a thrill to me to see someone that was approaching 90 years of age at the time
to just grow in grace and take his liberty in the Lord and just really blossom in really what would be considered rather old age in a way. Here was a man that really loved God, and he was testifying and taking walks and praying for unsaved relatives and witnessing for the Lord to neighbors. And I thought, this man is certainly a classic, that even to the very end of the pilgrimage, he was a radiant and a faithful Christian. I think that ought to be the desire of every one of our hearts. Regardless of how old you are, how young you are, that you would want to radiate the love of Christ all the way. I knew a couple in Central Michigan that were from my wife's home church. And I do not know exactly how many years they were married, but I do remember that they celebrated their 70th anniversary not long after our first anniversary. And it seemed to me that was certainly something to have had a marriage that lasted for 7 decades. If I remember correctly, they were married over 75 years. He lived to be about 104, and she was about 99 or 98 when she went to be with Jesus. So I'm glad that God can keep us. His grace is sufficient that even to the end of the journey, he's promised to be with us. And this passage of Scripture I find to be very encouraging, because I see here solace for senior citizens. And I notice, first of all, that even to old age, I am he. Yes, the God of the Bible is the same as he always has been. It isn't something that's going to, God isn't going to change. He isn't going to forsake us. He's not going to leave us, but he has promised that he would be with us. He is eternal, he is unchangeable, he is almighty, and he is God. And that is a thrill to me today. He loves his children just as much when they're 103 or 104 as he did when they were 3 or 13 or 33 or 63 or 83 or 93 or whatever the age may be. He loves us and cares for us. Just as the love that a couple shares on the day that they were married can grow and last for decades, so Christ's love and God's love can grow, and we can become more keenly aware of it as years pass by. As we travel down to the service this morning, my wife and I were reminded of the fact that next June we will be celebrating 40 years of marriage. What are we going to do to celebrate? Well, as far as I'm concerned, a little bit of nothing. But anyway, that is done in various ways by various people. But thank God for those who've been married for a long time. In our generation, a lot of people got married in 1969 that have been married numerous times since then. But I'm glad for God's grace and love that has kept us together down through these many years. In Psalm 102, verse 27, the Bible says, "But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end." We serve a God who is a God who has no end. God's promises are true to the senior citizens today as they were when the day he gave them long ago. Beloved, God is a God, and he is the one and only God. He always will. He always is one who can be depended upon to be true and to be faithful. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." I'm glad for a God that doesn't change. Many of us have lived long enough to see a lot of changes, haven't we? Things aren't like they used to be in many, many ways. Now, I can remember when I was but a child, we had an old-fashioned ringer telephone that you would ring out the Morse code over it to tell who you wanted to talk to. A short and a long, and a short and a long was our ring, not number, ring. There were 15 or 17 people on the party line, and you would ring out the number, and it would ring into all of those homes at the same time. It was a very interesting situation. It worked well for a volunteer fire department as well. like the time our chicken house caught on fire. And they got on there and they cranked and cranked and cranked. And they blurted out that the Manley's house was on fire. And my father happened to be home with my uncle at the time. And he picked up the receiver and was told that his own house was on fire. It was a bit shocking to find that news. But it really wasn't his house. It was the chicken house just a short distance away. It wasn't long until we had a bucket brigade there and a whole yard full of people trying to get the fire out. Well, that telephone still hangs in my parents' home. On the wall, just like it used to, when a short and a long and a short and a long would get our attention. Then we went to a dial telephone, rotary phone. About 1965, we had really come a long ways. You talk about progress. We were one of the last sections in rural Illinois to get dial telephone. And then, lo and behold, they came up with these new cellular phones, you know. And everybody now is carrying one in their pocket or their purse, and they cause us to really be linked up. Times have changed so dramatically. Text messaging and telephone service and around the globe. Just yesterday, Dr. Smith, on his way to Guatemala or to Honduras for the camp meeting, I took him to the airport very early in the morning. And then he called me later in the day and told me that the plane had been delayed and they didn't make their connection in Houston. And so consequently, he was not going to be able to be arriving at the designated time. Excuse me. And so consequently, he wanted me to get in touch with the missionaries and tell them what the problem was. And so again, I got on the phone. Daniel's cell phone in the country of Honduras rang. I talked to him, told him what was going on. And then a few minutes later, he calls my cell phone and tells me he's made connections with another missionary couple, Paul and Cindy Easley, who were scheduled to meet Mezgin Tedla on that same flight, and tell them that Brother Mezgin was going to be delayed because of the misconnection. We're living in a day where things have changed a great deal. But I'm glad God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And even to hoar hairs will I carry you. Let me make it clear that hoar hairs are gray hairs. Some people pull them out. By and by, that becomes too difficult and too painful. And so we just give up. Our God, our Father, is a loving Father. He loves just as much as we grow old as He did when we're children. He cares about us when we're young. He cares about us in middle age. He cares about us in senior years. The songwriter said it well when he penned these words, "In temptation's trying hour, you will need His keeping power. Just trust in the Savior and be true. And when trials you receive, trust in God and still believe that He will carry you through." Hair colors change, not necessarily because people get things out of a bottle to do it, but time does take its toll and things change. But God wants you to make it through to heaven. He will do whatever it takes to help you to make it. He carries His children through the rough times, the difficult times. As your suffering grows greater, so grows His grace. St. Paul went through some very trying times. He had a thorn in the flesh. A lot of discussion about what that thorn was. It seems to indicate to me there's a very strong possibility he was referring to his poor eyesight that gave him a lot of difficulty. In fact, he said that the Galatians were willing to pluck their eyes out and give him a transplant before it ever was medically possible because of his eye problem. Whatever his affliction was, he knew God was able, God had the ability, God could heal, and God could remove the thorn from the flesh regardless of what it was, whether it's false brethren, whether it was eye problems or whatever else it may have been. But God said, I'm not going to take the thorn away, but I am going to give you grace. And so St. Paul said, I'm going to therefore glory in my infirmities, and I'm going to rejoice that God will give me grace and unmerited favor to help me through this challenge that's come my way. God can help us. When you're infirm, when you're needy, remember He has promised that He will carry you through. Thank God for that, that He will carry us. You've heard this poem and perhaps even have it on a wall somewhere in your own home, but it certainly is worth repeating at this time. One night a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonged to him and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. He noticed that many times along the path of life there was only one set of footprints. He also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times of his life. This really bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about it. Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I've noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there is only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, you would leave me. The Lord replied, My son, my precious child, I love you, and I would never leave you during your times of trial and suffering. When you see only one set of footprints, it is then that I carried you. Just as a loving parent would carry that sleeping child from the car into the bedroom or wherever it might be, so our loving Heavenly Father has promised to carry us through our trials and through our tests, through our difficulties. Juddy Payton has had a very difficult week this week. Juddy's health is on the decline, and 2008's been a tough year for Juddy. He's had several close calls. Looked like he wasn't going to make it back in May. They did gallbladder surgery. He pulled through that. He had another bout in June. It looked like Juddy's going to go to heaven in June, and God touched him, brought him through that. He had double pneumonia a few days ago, and his kidneys were failing. It didn't look like Juddy was going to be with us very long, and yet God touched him. I was up to see him yesterday afternoon, and he was more chirper than he'd been in many of the visits that I've had with Brother Juddy. And I just was amazed. But God's carrying him through this phase of life, this difficult time. God's grace is there to help him. God further says, I have made. Now today, when a lot of people don't even acknowledge God as the Creator, yet God very clearly says, I have made. God has made us. It's clearly taught in Psalm 100 and verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. God not only made you in creation, but within your mother's womb as well. He also made us a new creature in Christ Jesus. For in 2 Corinthians 5:17 we read, Therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Many didn't become born again Christians until adulthood. Even Nicodemus was baffled by the new birth. He said, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Thank God many adults have been born again and are serving God, who came to know Christ later in life. My first pastorate was in Peoria, Illinois. And that church was praying, and a praying church. And they were praying that God would give them converts and give them new souls. And they They had a prayer list, and on that list were a number of names, some of the people that I hadn't even met, but yet we were praying for them on a regular basis that God would save them. One night I was praying in the back of the church. It was a small group, 15 to 20 people, and I heard a voice when I was praying in the back, out in the auditorium, that I was not familiar with, a man's voice. I didn't know who that voice belonged to. But as I came out, we had the service and concluded the service, and I was shaking hands with people in the rear of the church. This elderly gentleman stuck out his hand and introduced himself, said, "My name is Ed Berry. The woods are full of them." Well, I got acquainted with a man that was on the prayer list real fast. I recognized that name. Ed Berry was 70 years old at the time. He had known the Lord years before and had even done some preaching in his earlier years, but he'd been backslidden for many, many years. But within days of him coming to that service, he got saved in the home of one of the families that attended that church. And Brother Ed really came to know God. God made him in creation, but God made him a new creature in Christ Jesus as well. Made him over anew and afresh. It was a thrill to see him grow in grace. And I remember him telling me that God was dealing with him about making some restitutions. And he wanted to get his life straightened up and get right with God and right with man as well. You know, it kind of works that way. Not just with God, but with man as well. And we were in a revival meeting. And he didn't have a car. And so when he was getting ready to come to church, he wanted us to pick him up a little early because he wanted to do some restitution work on his way to church. First place we went into was a bar. Now, I don't usually go to bars on the way to church, but I did that night. And I was with another man from the church, and we went into this bar, and he said, "Lunch," and it was crowded. There was a number of people there. He said to the bartender, he said, "I want you to know I got saved." He said, "I didn't join the church. I didn't get baptized." He said, "I got saved." And he said, "God's changed my life, and I want to make my wrongs right." And he said, "You've got a pool table back there in the back room." Said, "You had to put coins in it to play pool." And he said, "I had a friend that was an electrician that had some slugs that were about the same size as a quarter. And he'd fix those slugs up where they'd fit right in that machine. And I could play it for nothing. Just one of those electrical slugs from a little outlet, you know, that you knocked out to put the wires in." He said, "I got to thinking." He said, I probably put $5 worth of slugs in that machine." That bartender said, "Somebody put a whole lot of them in there." He said, "I got to thinking maybe $5 wasn't enough." So he said, "I want to give you $10 to get that off my conscience and let you know that God saved me." And the bartender graciously accepted the $10 bill, and we left the bar, went across to the A&P grocery store. And Brother Ed said he wanted to see the manager. Well, they said, "The manager isn't in tonight," but he said, "The assistant manager is here." He said, "I'll talk to him." So the assistant manager came. He said, "I want you to know I got saved." He said, "I didn't join the church, didn't get baptized, didn't become a member of the church." He said, "I got converted, got saved." And he said, "I used to pilfer stuff from your store." He said, "And I want to make that right." I wasn't used to the word pilfer. We talked about swiping apples and swiping candy bars, but pilfering apples and pilfering candy bars. But anyway, that's what he, you know, it was another generation. And so he went, so the manager of the store was kind of taken back by that. And he said, "You know, I've taken things out of this store." And he said, "I want to make it right." He said, "I figure maybe $15 worth of stuff, maybe $20 worth of stuff." He said, "I want to give you $20 for the things that I have pilfered in this store." And the manager said, "You want to give me money for things you took and didn't get caught?" "That's it." He said, "I've done things in here. I've taken things." And he said, "I didn't get caught, but I got saved. And the Holy Spirit's dealt with me, and I want to make that right." He said, "You want to give me money for things that you took and didn't get caught?" He said, "That's right." He said, I don't want your money." Well, Ed said, would it be all right if I put it in the revival meeting? We're having revival at the church. He said, could I put the $20 bill in the offering? And would that satisfy you? He said, do whatever you want to with it, mister. You want to give me money for things that you took and didn't get caught? Yeah. He never did get it. Or maybe he got it a whole lot better than we thought he did. Because maybe there were some things that he took that he had never made right. But let's move on. Therefore, I will bear, even I will carry, from the time of the new birth until the entrance into the glory world of heaven, God will carry His children as the true heavenly Father that He is. Notice Isaiah 46:3 says, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. When I was a little boy, sometimes I pretended to be asleep, so I'd get a free ride into the house from the automobile. When I was about 4 years old, I was four, I was playing with my cousins in my uncle's front yard. We were climbing trees and having a great time until I lost my footing in the peach tree and went tumbling out and broke my left leg. Now, that's been a long time ago. 1954 has been a long time ago. There are a lot of people in this service this morning hadn't even discovered America in 1954. But I was 4 years old, and I had broke that left leg, and it hurt like everything. And I had not taken any medical training, but I knew something was badly wrong with that leg. And they took me and carried me into the house, hot month of July. And there was a man there that offered me a shiny dime if I would get up and walk. You couldn't tempt a kid with a $10 bill today, let alone 10 cents. But back in 1954, a dime would buy something, probably enough candy to get a bellyache. But anyway, I just refused. And then he upped the ante. He said, I'll give you a piece of chewing gum and a dime if you get up and walk. And at 4 years old, he still couldn't tempt me. Well, they realized that this kid must be in more serious shape than they originally thought. So they took me to the hospital, and my father carried me in. They did some x-ray work, found out that the leg was broken. And if you can believe it, in 1954 in Western Illinois, they didn't have air conditioning in hospitals. It was hot in July. I was a four-year-old kid with a broken leg in severe pain. And I remember my father standing over me with a fan, one of those funeral home type fans with a big wooden stick for a handle. You know what kind of fan? Didn't even have electric fan in the room. Dad fanned me with that fan. I was in pain the next morning. They took me up to put a cast on that leg. And I did survive, but they carried me. And you know, I've never forgotten that, even though I was a very young boy, that my father carried me to that hospital, and my father took care of me. They gave me crutches after that, and I was getting around with crutches at 4 years old, slipped on a wet floor and broke my collarbone, and so I gave up on the crutches, and they had to carry me about everywhere I went that summer until I finally got over the broken leg and the broken collarbone. But I'm glad that we have a loving, caring Heavenly Father that carries us. And He will deliver you. Thank God for that deliverance. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, we read, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. One of these days, we're going to move into a nice new home. I don't know if you've ever had that privilege or not, but it's a wonderful experience to move out of an old, run-down place into a nice new home. When I was a kid, we lived in an old shack of a house. Mom and Dad had bought the farm, but the house wasn't much of anything. My dad could be very vivid in his ways of describing things, and he'd say things like, That old house had so many cracks in the walls you could throw a tomcat through it. Well, they weren't quite that bad, but I've seen snow drifting around the cracks in that old house, and I've seen it as a child be so cold in there that it'd freeze water in the water bucket, and it was a shack of a house. I was very, very thankful when the day came that our family moved out of that old shack into the basement of what was to become our new home. My parents and brother and I lived in the basement of that house for 3 years until they accumulated enough resources to go up with the second story of that house. And then it was just a real joy to be able to move into that new house. In fact, we were talking about it last weekend. This 49 years ago, Thanksgiving week, my parents moved into their new home. And oh, it was a blessing. No more snow drifts in the living room. No more water buckets freezing over. In fact, we had indoor plumbing. I mean, you talk about coming uptown. I mean to tell you, no more path out back here, any of those kind of number two bathtubs for Saturday night or any of that stuff. We had arrived. We had a new house. And that was a blessing. My parents have lived in it now for nearly 50 years and enjoyed the benefits of my father's labors and my mother's labors. But you know, there's the one who's gone to prepare a place for us that far exceeds anything that the Manleys have ever lived in this world. He has promised to go to prepare a place for us and make it possible that we can enter into that city. We, at this point, have this treasure in an earthen vessel. But one of these days, we're going to receive a glorified body. No more pain, no more aches, no more discomfort. Someday deliverance will come to the faithful Christian. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 53 through 57, we read, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Oh, the Christian has something to look forward to. In this world, we have sorrow. But in the world to come, we'll have unending joy. I'm so glad that the Christian has a bright hope. And even though the body may deteriorate and the earthen vessel may begin to wear out and fall apart, I'm glad that one day we'll put on a glorified body and we shall forever be with the Lord. Be encouraged, Christian. Better days are ahead. Let's stand together. Our Father.